What a beautiful way to transition us into prayer time. We do have two prayer quilts here. Please take time after the service to tie a knot and say a prayer for them. As you know, it is Father's Day, and as I went through the prayer, I couldn't help in Wesleyan fashion kind of asking myself questions. You know, am I honoring my father? Do I take time to honor the gift that God gave me with my children and grandchildren? And most of all, do I take time to honor God, the Father? So would you please now join me in an attitude of prayer. Merciful Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and earth, sunlight guides us by day, moonlight and starlight comforts us at night. Today we honor our fathers, remembering their support throughout our lives. We give thanks for their sacrifices, honoring them as you commanded. It is a day of joy for many, celebrating fathers and grandfathers with families. Yet it may also be one of sorrow for others, grieving with the loss of loved ones. Recent acts of violence have affected families and friends. Hold them in your loving arms, that they may be filled with your Holy Spirit, feeling comforted in your presence. We welcome and need your presence, providing hope to those wanting to be fathers and good fathers. We count on your mercy in times of trial, giving strength to struggling fathers. Lord, we can trust in you to guide them, granting them patience in raising children. Lord, we seek your awesome healing power, comforting fathers and children with strained relationships. Hear us now as we humbly and silently pray, placing our concerns, gratitude, and requests at your feet. Lord, we worship you as our Heavenly Father, giving us wisdom and guiding our relationships. We remember the teachings of your Son, Jesus, recalling the words he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is from 1 Corinthians. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Chris. So as we're going through the summer, we're going to be doing movies, which you've heard enough about and you're going, okay, I'm ready for it. And we're starting off with animated movies. And this week we're doing Beauty and the Beast. Now, last week was The Lion King. And next week is going to be Toy Story. And then we're going to close off with Zootopia. Now, some of these are older, and Zootopia is pretty new. So if you haven't seen it and you get a chance to either watch Toy Story again or go and rent Zootopia or go on Netflix and watch it, you should do that. So we're going to be going from reel to reel, as Greg said. Now, for Beauty and the Beast, if you're not familiar with the story, I'll give you a quick rundown as we talk this morning. Now, I'm going to read her name because it's a fairy tale written by a French novelist by the name of Gabrielle Suzanne Barbeau de Villeneuve. How'd I do for you French people? Is that close? I tried. It was published a long time ago, 1740, so I wasn't there. And her version apparently was really lengthy. And so over the years, different writers have shortened it up and rewritten it. And that's really how we got to the story that we have today. And this morning, we're going to be talking about Disney's version of Beauty and the Beast. Now, this was created and released in 1991, and it was a Walt Disney feature animation production. Now, in case you didn't guess, she's a French writer, so the story takes place in a French village. And the story really is around Belle, who's in blue here in the picture, and it starts off, and her dad, the gentleman next to her, that's Greg Geis. That's her dad, Maurice. And Maurice is an inventor, and I'll put that in quotes because he's not a really good inventor, and things just don't seem to work out for him. He fails all the time, and Belle's a wonderful daughter and is there for him and constantly looking at ways to see that he continues to try. And so that's Belle and her dad. Well, in addition, because you have to have the counterpart, you have to have someone who's pursuing the beauty, and it's not the Beast. It's actually Gaston. And his picture's up here. Now, Gaston is beautiful and handsome by worldly and his own standards. If you look at him here, he's admiring himself, and I get caught up in that in the morning. I have the same issue that I look in the mirror, and there I am. So he's pursuing her, and he's really not what he looks like. The inside doesn't match the outside. So Maurice, he finally creates an invention that works. It's a wood chopper, and so this is fantastic. He heads off to sell the idea. Unfortunately, much like other things in Maurice's life, the trip just doesn't go all that well. He has a choice of which way to go, and he goes the wrong way because he didn't ask directions. Any men ever not ask directions and you just go the direction you want? Well, for him, it's really bad. He gets lost. He's attacked by wolves. The horse runs away with the wagon. Maurice is on foot, and he is being pursued by these wolves. So he is running away as fast as he can. And what does he come across but this castle? It's dark. And when he gets to this castle and he gets inside, he encounters the Beast. Now, the Beast, at this point, accuses Maurice of coming to stare at him, of trespassing, and he refuses to release him. And so he throws Maurice in a dungeon. Now, when the horse gets back to the village without Maurice, Belle goes looking for him, and she tries to figure out, how am I going to find him? And she ends up finding him at the castle. And in a minute, I'm going to run a clip about her first encounter with the castle. But when you watch it, I want to point out that this is 1991 and earlier when this was created. And the technology has changed a lot. Today, if you watch Zootopia, it's all computer graphics generated. And it's being done on a machine. Back in 1991, they were still doing it by hand. And when you watch the credits all the way to the end, you will see name after name after name of who drew Belle, who drew Gaston, who drew Maurice, because it wasn't something that was easy to do. They drew frame by frame. So today it's easy to make an animated movie, and I'll put easy in quotes, because I think the story is what always drives it. But as we look back at that time and what they were doing step by step, and they can enhance it. There's a 25th anniversary edition. There's lots of ways you can watch Beauty and the Beast. There was even the live action version that came out this year. And if you're looking for the exact same story, it doesn't track perfectly, but it does enhance it and create a new story for us all. But the clip I'm going to show you is Belle's first encounter with the castle and getting to know the beast. So we're going to run that starting now, if you would.
Wait, I'm looking for my father.
That's funny. I'm sure there was someone. Is anyone here?
Who?
Papa.
How did you find me?
Oh, your hands are like ice. We have to get you out of there.
Belle, I want you to leave this place.
Who's done this to you?
No time to explain. You must go, now.
I won't leave you.
What are you doing here?
Who's there? Who are you?
The master of this castle.
I've come for my father. Please, let him out. Can't you see he's sick?
Then he shouldn't have trespassed here.
But he could die. Please, I'll do anything.
There's nothing you can do. He's my prisoner.
Oh, there must be some way I can... Wait! Take me instead.
You! You would take his place?
Belle, no! You don't know what you're doing!
If I did, would you let him go?
Yes. But you must promise to stay here forever.
Come into the light.
No, Belle! I won't let you do this!
You have my word.
Done!
No, Belle, listen to me. I'm old. I've lived my life.
Wait!
Belle!
Wait!
No, please spare my daughter. Please!
She's no longer your concern. No. Take him to the village.
Let me out! Please let me out! Let me out! Please! Please!
Anybody jump when the beast snuck? You know, it's terrifying, isn't it? I just want to spend a moment on this interaction because it's amazing what takes place and it sets the stage for the rest of the story. I mean, Belle gives up herself for her father and it shows the love, and it's just, I think it's coincidence that it's Father's Day and we're talking about this. And as we look at it, it doesn't start off that smoothly. I mean, how could it? Maurice didn't get a chance to tell her what to be afraid of. And when she is shocked and surprised, and the beast says that he's my prisoner, he can't leave, you can see Belle thinking. She doesn't accept that. And she comes up with a solution that the beast hadn't even considered, her father hadn't considered, and I think until that moment, even she hadn't considered. And she said, "Take me instead." And I don't know if you could tell on the screen, but the beast gets this really funny look on his face because he's not sure what he heard. And he says, you would take his place? It surprises the beast. And he confirms that she means it and then that she'll stay there forever, and he accepts her offer. Now, at this point, Belle is showing amazing love and care for her father. She's exhibiting something that the beast doesn't know how to do. The beast does not know how to love. And he doesn't even come close to understanding what sacrificial and selfless love is. And that's what Bell is showing him. And when we turn to Scripture, we find references about self-sacrifice and selflessness everywhere. And one of the most ones that you hear constantly is, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus clearly provided for us the greatest example of this. You can go read any of the four Gospels, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. It doesn't matter which one you turn to. You can read about how Jesus gave himself up for us, for all of us. And there are plenty of amazing stories of those who have died in war, sacrificing themselves for others. There were stories this week alone of people who stepped in front of bullets for others, who self-sacrificed. They put someone else first. There's stories, and normally at this point I'd give you one. I would say, okay, I went to the internet and found a story of a parent who worked two jobs to send their child to college. But I want to do something a little different. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think of a time where someone in your life, and there is someone, and it could have been something very small, it could have been something huge. It could be a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a relative, a coworker, a teacher. Someone who sacrificed for you and the difference that made to you. Just take a moment and think about that. For me, it was my mom. She worked, and she worked hard. And she went without so that my brother and sister and I could have. She cared about us. And when we were going through it, she made it fun, so I didn't even realize what she was doing. But when you look back and you look at it through a different lens, you can see it and understand it and learn from it. And when you watch movies, it's the same thing. When you watch them through that Christian perspective, that biblical perspective, it gets you thinking. Now, for those of you who know me, getting me thinking can be risky, can be very dangerous. And here's what I mean. I'm going to give you a story. This is my story, and just stay with me. We'll get there. So in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus is God's Son, and that Jesus is God. We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, it tells us that Jesus is the Word. The Word was there in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And we also know, at different times in the Old Testament, God really gets a little bit fed up with how humans are living. So still with me. I have two different things going on here. And there were times where God said, you know what, enough. I'm going to destroy this city because you're vile. I'm going to send rains and flood the earth. We are going to start over. Well, was it really that different in Jesus' time? The same thing was going on. And so just imagine God is sick and tired of repeating himself over and over and over, and ready to start over again. Humans just won't change. And I can almost hear a conversation, and Jesus steps in and said, wait a second, let's try something different this time. Let's not destroy them. Let's send me. You know, take it out on me, not the people. I'll go live with them. I'll teach them. I'll guide them. I will love them. Now, I don't think God's reaction would be the same as the beasts when he looked at Bell and said, you would take their place. I think Jesus, his self-sacrifice, the ultimate self-sacrifice, was known, and he was willing to do it. It sets an example that we can't even begin to imagine the difference it makes. Let's head back to the movie. So Belle takes her father's place and agrees to stay with the beast. Now, I didn't tell you this yet. The beast is cursed because he doesn't know how to love. He refused to offer help to a stranger, and he was cursed because of it and was turned into this beast. Until his 21st birthday, he has that much time to break the curse. If the curse is not broken by then, this is what he stays like. Now, I wanted to put his picture up there because he is a mishmash of animals, and I'm going to tell you what they are. His head and his horns, they're from a bison. His jaws, teeth, and mane are of a lion. The eyebrow is of a gorilla. The tusks are from a wild boar. The arms and the body are from a bear. And the hind legs and the tail, they're from a wolf. So this guy's a mutt. And what you'll find is mutts are lovable. And there are those around the beast who love him and care for him. And here's a few of them. Because in addition to the beast being cursed, the castle was dark, right? The whole castle was cursed. And all of the servants and the people in the castle were cursed. So up here we have a Lumineer. He's the candlestick. You have Cogsworth. He's the clock. You have Mrs. Potts, played by Angela Lansbury, sings a beautiful song. It's just wonderful. It'll bring you to tears. And her son, Chip, he's the cup up in the front. And then the feather duster in the back, there's a wonderful thing going on between Lumineer and the feather duster, but that's more of the adult part of the story. So these are people who love the beast. Now, they're his servants, but they care about him. They're trying to help him understand what he needs to do. They're guiding him to where he needs to go. And throughout this movie, the word love gets thrown around. And I'm throwing it around this morning as well. And part of the problem we run into is when we use the word love in today's culture, it means a lot of different things. I love coffee. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my children. I love bacon. So we use the word love constantly, and it gets confusing for us. So the reason I used the scripture this morning from 1 Corinthians is because it has the word love throughout it. Now, if you've ever attended a wedding, you've heard this scripture. And it makes sense. The word love is in there. It has all these positive attributes, what it is, what it isn't. It's just wonderful. The only issue is that's not the kind of love that this scripture is talking about. It's not talking about romantic love. When Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he used one of the Greek words for love. He used agape. And the Greeks did it right. They actually have four different words for love. They're agape, which I have up on the screen, eros, philia, and storge. I need George Lewis here to tell me if I'm pronouncing them even close to right. But the love that Paul is writing around in this letter is agape. And so, if you don't know what agape is, for Christians, for us, agape is the love originating from God or from Christ for humankind. In the New Testament, which is what this letter is from, it's the love of God for humans as well as, this is the important part, our love for God. And it's also viewed as our love for each other. And C.S. Lewis, when he writes about the four loves, he uses agape to describe what he believes is the highest level of love known to us. And that's a selfless love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others. And that's the love that Belle shows for her father. And if we dig in a little bit deeper to this reading today, I want to explain where it comes from. I mean, Paul's explaining to them what love is, but he's also explaining that his spiritual gifts, and those are the ones he's talking about, they're worthless. They're meaningless without love. And he points out that, you know, I am nothing. I gain nothing. I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Because he's looking at it from a standpoint of love. What is best for you, not me? What would help you, not me? And this is what the beast needs to do to break the curse. He needs to love someone in this way. The tougher part is someone needs to love him back in the same way. And because we're on movies, I'm going to grab a quote from a musical that you may have seen. It's called Moulin Rouge. And they use a quote by Eden Asbez throughout this movie. And it's described as this: the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. That's what needs to happen. That's what the beast needs to do, is to love and be loved in return. That's the only way to break the curse. Now, if you haven't seen it, stop listening, because I'm going to tell you the rest of the story real fast. Because I don't think it'll spoil the rest of the movie. If you haven't figured it out, love wins, okay? Belle prevails. They become friends first. We heard it in the song this morning. The beast learns to love. Of course, you have to have a little bit of trial and tribulation. Gaston and the villagers, they try to kill the beast. They storm the castle. There's this great battle between all of the beast's servants, still in their forms that they were up there on the screen, battling the villagers. There's this huge fight that ends in death between the beast and Gaston. Belle loves the beast and tells him so. She returns his love. The curse gets broken. They dance and live happily ever after. Of course, it's a movie. And we live happily ever after too, though, in the love of Christ. Today's Father's Day, and it's a time to celebrate the fathers in our lives. Now, Belle, early on in the movie, she shows her father that love, and she shows it throughout the movie to everyone. She's a special girl. She encouraged him in his inventing. She gave herself up for him. When he gets lost trying to save her, he gets lost a lot, she searched for him, and the beast actually let her do that. And she saved her father again. Now, I wish I could say that when I was growing up, I had been put in that place with my father, that I would have taken his place, that I would have said, sure, take me. But my dad, he died in 2013. We didn't have that kind of relationship. My parents were divorced. I saw him rarely, and it was more of a cold relationship. What I learned, though, over the years, as I became older, as I became more mature, both physically and spiritually, is I have to take the first step sometimes. And I believe, asked the same question later in life, I would have said yes, take me first, out of selflessness, out of love. And see, that's the thing. I'm not sure which one comes first and how you get there. Do you have to have love to get to selflessness? Or if you start with selflessness and giving of yourself, does love come? And when you watch Beauty and the Beast, you'll see it from both directions, where someone loves and sacrifices themselves, and someone then also offers a sacrifice back and learns to love. It can go from both directions. As 1 Corinthians 8:8 tells us, love never fails. And that is true. And the love that Paul was talking about here, this is when we're talking about God's love for us. It never fails. And when we do the same thing and show others agape love, it never fails. And that's our challenge, isn't it? This week and every week, to show selfless, self-sacrificing love to others, even those who don't deserve it. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be something simple. Try this. When you're in line somewhere and somebody cuts in front of you, let them. It's a few seconds out of your life. And I know I have trouble with that because, hey, I was here first. There's rules. And this one's even tougher for the people like me who like to get from point A to point B as fast as they can. Those people in the left lane who, when it says that the lane is going to end because there's construction, who stay in that lane till the last moment and jump over. Is it really that big of a deal if I hit my brakes and let them in? And if we can start with those little things to others who we don't know, what would we be capable of with those we do know and we do love when we are looking at self-sacrifice? Say no to something you want and instead give to someone who needs. Because remember, love never fails. Amen.